Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Here's the thing we've been telling people for a long time, right? And it goes along with what I was saying for the entire show. Chris Garcia gets it. He knows, right? JJ gets it. He knows. We know the people that know. This guy, Chris Hale, writes a story for the Houston Press. Says the dream team matchups for all the different hours of the day for sports radio. None of us are mentioned, but Granato is and Raheel is. Okay, that's great, and I love those two guys. But at the same time, I don't do radio to be in your column. For these people that call up and say, hey, you're not being nice enough to a team that's won 32 games. Well, guess what? I do radio for the listeners that love sports for what it is. It's reality, but it's not as serious as your life. But at the same time, I'm going to be honest just like I am in my life, and you should be too. Be honest with yourself. It's like I said when I gave the Cowboys all the credit in the world for being a great team that's going to be better as the years go by and played a great game against the Packers, but I still had Cowboy fans as late as last night coming at me telling me how my team is crap and how the officials decided the game and how it was a complete screw job. Guess what? It's not real life. It's one game, and you didn't play in it. So get over yourself.
Yeah.
Travis and I do radio so that you guys get honest takes on sports that you are interested in. And that's what we do. Right?
Yeah, no question. I mean, I'm not here to impress nobody, man. I don't, you know what? I could give two emojis with the little swirls. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care. Like, I don't, like, it doesn't, I enjoy talking. I mean, this is what I do. I do this all the time. And to be quite honest, I do it for free anyway. You know what I mean? So, It doesn't make me no difference. I mean,
the reason why Chris Davis or JJ or Adrian or all the guys that listen on a regular basis that are loyal listeners like and listen to this show is the fact that we keep it real. I'm not going to sit there and pump it like other people do every single day. We're building our ratings. And believe me, we'll be back. So we're going to do a podcast and then you're going to listen to us and then we're going to talk about smoking doobies. Okay? And then when we're not talking about smoking doobies, then we're going to talk about, you know, our chicks, and we're going to talk about, you know, hot dating scenes. No. You know what we're going to do? We're going to talk fun. We're going to talk sports. We're going to talk real life. But we're going to talk about things that you're interested in talking about. And when you want to talk about them with us, you're more than welcome to join the show. And if you're a regular and you bring it and you keep it real, we're going to have you on more times than not, because we're creating more of a friendship, family banter thing like Travis is talking about amongst friends.
Yeah.
That's when sports radio is at its best.
Speaking of which,
yes,
you
sir.
See, he's talking about Bill Belichick might retire.
Josh McDaniels is hanging out.
Is hanging out.
Yeah. What do you think about that? Let me get – what's your take on McDaniels?
I mean, he did draft Tim Tebow, so that he automatically starts back at zero.
But then it behooves you to ask the question, did he draft him or did John Elway draft him?
No, he drafted him. John Elway didn't want him.
You know that?
Yeah, John Elway didn't want him. Why do you think John Elway was so quick to get rid of him?
That's a good point.
I mean, like...
But isn't... Like, McDaniels, to me, based on his time in Denver, and just to the point you made, he's one of those guys that seems to be best suited to be a coordinator.
Yeah, I mean, but at the same time, who's ever ready for their first NFL job? You know what I mean? Like, it's a lot that comes along with that.
You bring it up, and you're right, because Bill Belichick got his first NFL job
and they blackballed him up out the league for a minute. It was hard for him. Then when he took the Jets job and never showed up, retired from the Jets job before he actually worked the Jets job.
Right.
I mean, this is going to be interesting, man. The game of football without Bill Belichick in it is hard to think about. You know what I mean? Because Bill Belichick is something. Even if you're not a fan of the Patriots, I'm a fan of Bill Belichick. I really am.
Like, I'm not, but okay.
But no, I'm a fan of, because I love the game. If you love the game, you know, just like Mike Tomlin said, there's only a few great coaches right now coaching the game, sports, period.
Yeah.
And when you think about great coaches, you think about Bill Belichick. You think about Popovich.
Yep.
Down there. You know what I mean? Those are the coaches that come to your mind first. Yep.
Those are the closest things in our lifetime we may see to dynasties.
To dynasties and great coaches. Yep. You know what I mean? Yeah, of course, you can call Phil Jackson a great coach, but then you look at it and say Phil Jackson also had arguably four of the top 10 greatest players of all time that played for him.
And he lobbied to get those jobs.
Exactly.
As opposed to Red Auerbach, who held the record before him, who built –
that organization.
And constructed all those teams.
So, I mean, you can – people can say what they want to say about the man's attitude and what type of guy he is, but I know that me being a fan of the game and a former player and being a guy who played for Mickey Andrews, who's one of the hardest-nosed college coaches of all time,
right.
I don't have a problem with Bill Belichick. I don't have a problem with his style. I don't have a problem with his brashness. I don't have a problem with his cantankerousness. No, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, shoot. He got caught.
Okay.
It ain't cheating. You ain't trying if you ain't cheating. You know what I mean?
It is one of it's a cliche sports talk show today on a Wednesday, so we might as well bring that one up too.
I don't have a problem. I thought it was funny that, you know, when he got caught cheating with the Spygate stuff,
yep.
He's a former employee that used to benefit from it. You know what I mean? That to me was Fredo snitching on the Godfather. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you wasn't my brother, I'd kill you. You know what I mean?
It's funny that there's some memes out there right now of just wanting to introduce you people to the new groundskeeper in Pittsburgh this week.
And
it's Bill Belichick putting on like a gardening hat.
Yeah.
Which is pretty funny. You know what? That's why I think, and you touched on this a little, I think last week when you said that I don't think Josh McDaniels is going anywhere, or Matt Patricia, because they're tied at the hip to Bill Belichick one way or the other. Plus, New England's a lot like Alabama is in college football. They're going to take care of their coordinators a little better because they know that if they maintain the same system with the same people in charge, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It's going to keep on chugging down the line.
And I don't know if they paying them a little bit better. I just think they all – I mean, everybody's getting paid what they get paid. You know,
whether it's the whole Vrabel promises thing or whatever, they know that they've got some security if they just keep doing what they're doing it well.
Yeah, I know for some people that's a stressful – those are stressful days at work. Like, when you got a guy like Belichick, and you got a guy like Nick Saban. Nick Saban's another – that's a great coach. That's the one you mentioned in that same category. When you got a guy like that where, you know, I had a coach once tell me a story about Nick Saban that speaks about how ornery and how, you know, how much he cares about stuff that's going on. You know what I mean? And he's telling a story, and he say, Nick, you know, Nick rocking back and forth. And he's telling him, like, man, I'm supposed to be enjoying my wife, but I can't enjoy my wife because all I'm thinking about is which one of you, beep, beep, is going to screw up my day today. And he's rocking back and forth. He said, I'm supposed to be doing this and nailing it to the land, but I can't do that. You know what I mean? But it's just him, how he's thinking about the game. Those are stressful days for guys when they get up at their age. So if he retires, I can see that being the only reason why. And if guys leave, I think they want a less stressful situation to where it's not always where it – it's not a lot of effort. It's not saying the effort it put in and winning, but it's not so much pressure.
Did you see the picture of him and his wife on the off week, the wild card weekend? They were on a ferry somewhere on the East Coast, and they're both sleeping, and her purse and wallet are just sitting right there on the table. And I'm thinking, there's a dude that for 1 week is trying to just get as much relaxation as possible and basically saying, I dare you to take this because, by the way, we're completely surrounded by water. You ain't going anywhere.
Yeah.
And I am just... Max,
but
relax.
No, he's just that. I think I really would, and I love like the football life stuff.
Yeah,
when they follow him. When they,
I will say this:
around.
The one thing that really humanized Bill Belichick was that 2-part series they did on him when he's not at work.
When he's not at work.
Things,
yeah, right? And I think to me, I think it's great because you know he's a coach's son. He comes from, you know, he has a little military background. You know him, and you know it's funny is. I think him and Saban are from the same area. Him, Saban, and Jimbo, I think all are from the same area, almost like blocks apart. And, you know, when they speak on the way his daddy taught him the game and the way now he teaches his son the game, you know, it's quite fascinating. And you see how much tranquility he gets on the water. So that's why we see during the off week where he's on a ferry, he's on a boat hanging out, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just like, you know what? This is the sound of water what brings me at peace. You know what I mean?
By the way, it was funny like too is when they asked him about the Antonio Brown stuff, he gave my mom's answer. My mom was notorious for calling it face paste splice.
Yeah,
she did instead of Facebook. And he said, I don't follow your What do you call it?
He said I'm not on Insta Snap and Face Group or something like that.
I think it was like Instant Chat or something like that.
Phenomenal stuff.
But I know exactly what you're talking about.
A page right out of my mom's book. She goes, you guys stay on your face page.
I'm not on Snap Face, not too worried about what they put on Insta Chat.
There you have it.
And he said, and then he followed up with, I'm not too worried about Mike Tomlin on tape because I got him on tape already. Yeah. Talking about the game tape.
Yep. That's good stuff. Hey, we got plenty more to get to, but we're rolling along on a pretty damn good show, but we're keeping it real for you today. So if you want to get in on the action, 713-780-ESPN, where you can call us or you can text us. Nick's checking the text line, or you can hit us up on Twitter as all three of us are monitoring our tweets every chance we get. We are here till 4 o'clock, and we are ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Just like the dragonfly. Joel, Nick, and Trap till 4. You guys know what today is?
Hump day.
Besides that.
So happy birthday, man, Joe.
No. No, Travis, you should know better than anybody. I'm a Juneteenth baby.
Yeah, I know.
As I tell everybody, I'm black from the waist down.
Yeah. Sounds sweet.
So, at least it's only a sound for you.
Nah.
Because you know what? If it feels, it's real. So here's the thing. Bottom line is we've talked about two of the three major sports today. There is a big story all teed up and ready to be driven down the fairway by about 5 o'clock today. You know what it is?
Josh Hamilton maybe getting paid $26 million by the Angels to play for the rivals.
No,
that's a good one too.
Nick, you know what it is?
No, I do not.
Bags.
Yep. Hall of Fame comes out tonight, and I hope Jeff Bagwell gets the call. We talked about this the other day. The fact that it's a very, very long time coming, but a very good thing that the people that vote for the Baseball Hall of Fame have to be transparent about their ballots. Brian Kinney, as I mentioned the other day, already came out and said, I'm not voting for anybody that took chemicals. So he had Bagwell off of his ballot. But early indications are a lot of people that are voting have Bagwell on their ballot.
That played for the Expos.
Tim Raines.
Yeah, who is a long time coming.
Tim Raines should have been there. I can't remember Tim Raines' stat off the top of my head, but it's funny because I collect cards, man, and
I still got all mine.
I still got a bunch of them. And my aunt just sent me the entire collection of Topps 1990, 1991 cards that I had left at her house years ago. You know what I mean? When I was 10 years old.
Yeah.
You know, so I got Tim Raines, one of my favorite all time players.
Boy, hell of a base stealer.
Hell of a base stealer. He should have been there. If I could,
pretty damn good hitter too.
Oh, no question. I'm pull up his stats in a minute, man. Yeah, I love him.
And he played for Montreal. He played for the Yankees. Played for the White Sox. Getting back to my point initially too, which was Jeff Bagwell. Brian Kinney was saying how he's not going to vote. He's a voter and he's got a ballot and he's not going to vote for anybody that he believes took steroids.
So it has to be somebody he believed, because Barry Bonds is never pop positive.
Right.
So
Jeff
Bagwell, Barry Bonds, none of these guys are pop positive. So
and the thing that I was talking about today, and it's interesting because we're going to have George Carl on tomorrow. We're scheduled to have him on, and that's something you guys are going to want to tune into too, because we're going to try and ask some of the questions that you guys want answered. And one of the things we were talking about is because we don't know the criteria that people use that are voters, it's George Carl could affect his chance to make the Hall of Fame
by
all this crap around his book,
by his Superhead book.
Yep. And could affect him ever working in basketball or in broadcasting ever again, because of the fact that it's been taken and looked upon so negatively from all the ways that he's gone about this. And this is the same kind of thing. I was saying in baseball, we don't know what the criteria is. We don't know that you don't get these older guys that have been covering baseball for a long time and may not even be covering it anymore, but still have a ballot. And they're going to say, steroids should have never been a part of baseball. So if you played in the steroid era, I'm not going to vote for you. Roger Clemens, out. Barry Bonds, out. everybody right down the list. McGuire out. Sosa out. A-Rod out. So that means, and a lot of people think Bagwell was one of those guys too. I just know that not just from what Bagwell meant to this city, but when you put up numbers like his and you put him next to Frank Thomas, you put him next to first baseman in the Hall of Fame, and you know he got jobbed out of an MVP the year that they cut the season short, that this guy put up phenomenal numbers. He was an outstanding defensive first baseman until eventually his shoulder just gave out. But it would mean obviously a lot for the city of Houston, but I think it just means a lot to get another Astro in there and get a guy that I think gave his heart and soul to the game in Jeff Bagwell.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how the vote goes. I think it's 5 o'clock today that it comes out.
I think Barry needs to get in. I think Mark needs to get in. I think Tim needs to get in. And I'm speaking on these guys like I know them like that. And, you know, I feel like I did because I grew up. This is my time. I think that all these guys need to get in. You can put an asterisk by their name. You can put whatever. But the Hall of Fame is not complete if you don't address that era. If you don't address that time where you swear everybody else was on the sauce. I mean, listen, Babe Ruth played every game drunk or high when he played. That could have been a performance enhancer. I mean,
hot dogs in four innings could possibly give you a chance to go deep.
When you look at a guy like Lawrence Taylor, who you know was on that white girl, you know what I mean? Then all of a sudden, what? That's a performance answer. That Booger Sugar has done miracles for guys on the field. You know what I mean? So
let's go down the list. Because here's my argument, and I think I've said this to you before on the air. A guy like Barry Bonds, if he never does or doesn't do what he did or didn't do, would have still been in the Hall of Fame in my mind.
No question. He'd have been a Hall of Fame.
Five-tool player, most valuable player awards, everything he did before he got bigger, stronger, and faster.
Everything he did before he came to San Francisco, it was Hall of Fame numbers.
No question about it. He and Ken Griffey Jr. were the gold standard of just flat-out baseball players.
No question.
Right? So I believe Alex Rodriguez was that kind of player too.
Yeah, no question. I think his thing was just like unlike Griff, and I never thought Griff was on anything. Griff was just so natural.
He just had a body frame and everything. Never indicate that he took anything.
I think unlike Griff, even if Griff was, if people had already threw that out there that he was, his personality itself, he was loved by so many.
Yep.
When you talk about those other two guys, Barry and Alex, they hate them guys. The media hates them guys. The fact that Alex Rodriguez, you know who's one of the best when he gets talking about baseball during the World Series, I have the greatest time listening to Alex Rodriguez because he knows so much and can articulate it so well that he's one of the best to do it. Now he got the job with
Smoltz is even better.
Exactly. Those guys are phenomenal. But now it's funny that the media now is like, man, this dude is actually pretty good.
He knows the game, but here's the thing. Let me throw this out to you. If A-Rod never leaves Texas or Seattle, if Barry Bonds never leaves Pittsburgh, Hall of Famers.
No question.
And I don't know that they even dabble in the other stuff.
No.
You know? Now, on the flip side, is Sammy Sosa a Hall of Famer if he doesn't take what he took?
Well, I don't know. Which Sammy Sosa, the white one or the black one?
Or the one that came in as a 180-pound center fielder. Or left as a 225-pound home run hitter.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's not that hard to do if you spend time in the weight room and put in that effort.
Now, when's the last time you lifted weights with your head?
Hey, your head can't get bigger.
Because I just know that his head size went from 7 1/4 to about 8.
Mine's got bigger, and I wasn't on the sauce.
No, but you know Shug Knight. Or look like him. You know, these are just things. What do you guys think? I mean, I hope Baggy gets in. You know, it's just it's a difficult set of circumstances because of the voting criteria that we don't know anything about. And even if the votes are transparent, the criteria that goes into how those votes are placed is not something that we know. And it's not something written in stone by everybody to follow. So everybody's going to have their own belief as to who should get in and why. But it'll be interesting to see because Baggy was 15 votes shy last time, so hopefully he gets in. Again, 5 o'clock, I imagine during the Blitz they'll find out, and so they'll pass it along. But Jeff Bagwell hoping to get in tonight.
And I also want to wish one of my homeboys, Wes Horton, plays for Carolina Panthers, whose daddy is, you remember Jim and I from American Gladiator?
No.
You didn't watch American Gladiator?
I did.
Remember Gemini, the black dude, the yoked
up? Yeah,
that's his daddy, man. Old Wes Horton, defensive line for Carolina Panthers. Happy birthday, brother.
Okay, you think he's listening?
Yeah, he is.
Good. Well, if anybody else wants to listen and you can't get the regular radio station, you can always download the app. Go to ESPN975.com and download the app. Therefore, you can take us anywhere that you go, we go. Travis fits in a suitcase nicely. Nixon and attaché. Either way, we all know how to make sure that you listen and we all come to play. How about that? ESPN975.
Loaded, ready to rule. You're listening to ESPN975. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Nick, Travis, at the halfway point, getting ready to start the third quarter of what has been a phenomenal show so far.
What time Keenan getting here?
3:30. Glad you mentioned that. You might want to promote it.
Yeah, hey, tune in. 3:30. Keenan McCardell, 87 in your heart, number one in your playbook.
There you go. Keenan McCardell for his normal Wednesday half-hour stint.
Man, we should have had Keenan all day, too, man. We could have a four-man weave, man.
Well, we can have him come on tomorrow.
Yeah, true, true.
Or Friday.
True,
you're doing
true.
The rest of the week.
Yeah, I'm doing the rest of the week. You know, tune in. Trap J in the building. You know, just what we do, man.
Why does it just have to be about Trap J?
You know, I'm Trap J. They know you're here. Well, just let them know.
If you're here and I'm here, isn't it our time?
Yes, of course.
Okay, Mr. Hand. So we're here and Nick's here. And by the way, a quote, Nick, that should ring a bell with you because you've heard it before from others. Julius Peppers just said, it's tough to get in the playoffs, let alone to a conference championship game. We understand that and how hard it is just to get in. That's why we are ready to capitalize. I believe the man who made 99 famous is the guy that's been preaching that all season long.
Yes.
I've told you. It's tough just to get there, man. Like, people don't understand that. And everybody says, oh, if the Texans don't win 11 games and get in there the right way, then I'm not.
Can I just say one thing, too, by the way? We both called their win and loss total for this year.
Yeah.
We both said 9-7.
Yeah. And I just, my whole thing is, but they were there. They were there with a chance. They were there with a chance. Imagine the way Clowney played, he knocked Brady out in the beginning of that game. And with a legal shot, everything.
Knocks what did him I out, say? Knock, Rattles cage by hitting him low and hitting him hard, and it's going to take him a little bit. Obviously, that first half, they did everything. That was a dream first half for them.
But, yeah. But imagine Brady doesn't walk back in that huddle in the second half.
Yeah.
And you got to go with Jacoby Brissett as
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Or Jimmy Garoppolo. Regardless, I mean, you can roll the dice on whoever one goes out there. Now, all of a sudden, you got a real chance. Now, all of a sudden, you're in the the AFC Championship game, and you're looking like back in the day when Arizona went, the year they played Arizona and Pittsburgh in the championship, nobody gave Arizona a chance. Matter of fact, I think both of them were wild card teams that year, Arizona and Pittsburgh. And, like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So.
All right, well, let's hit some of the round table that we've already hit. David wants to get in and talk about the Hall of Fame. David, what's up?
Yeah, y'all talking about Bagwell getting in. The guy was on steroids. As soon as they started testing for drugs, his shoulder went to hell. You want to tell me that's not true?
I want you to tell me how it is true. Where do you get the proof that says he took anything?
As soon as they started testing for drugs, his shoulder, he couldn't even throw the ball underhanded no more.
No,
Travis, hold on a second.
Go ahead.
You drive a cab?
What's that?
You drive a cab and like Tillman Fertitta?
Absolutely, and don't put her in.
Hang it up, Nick, right now. Get out of here and don't call back ever again. Well, I told you this before, told you again. It's the same guy on a different name. That's Roberto, who took the dirty shot at Kevin McHale losing his daughter.
What?
Yep, he just came in through a different name. That's the kind of crap we got to deal with, but at least we're sharp enough to get through it.
Get from around here now. Go, get. Don't you come back no more.
No, you're gone, buddy. And guess what? We're sharper than the average bear. So, you know what? We know exactly what you sound like. And you're not sharp enough, bright enough, smart enough, or on the ball enough to change your voice anywhere near where we can't get through and figure out who you are, Roberto. Anybody who gets in your cab,
Robert,
better pray for their life because you can't drive, let alone make phone calls. And you got a lot more time on your hands than most people. So go find something else to do. Why don't you go walk in traffic? That would be fantastic.
And the words of Mick Andrews.
Nick, very sharp on your part as well.
The words of Mick Andrews. Why don't you drive over to Kirby, take them 87 steps to glory, and jump your ass on the Kirby Street, and hopefully a big rig truck hits your ass before you hit the ground, and then beep, 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 and back right back up on you.
There you go. So we can run over Nick with the bus on when he cuts calls off too short. We ain't running over anybody, but
he's getting a lot of hate texts again, just like he did last time.
I don't understand when he made that comment.
Give him that much airtime. But no, yeah.
You're right. You know, and trapped it. You know, Trap thought it was just a regular caller, so that's fine. But I mean, here's a guy that really has no life. When he looks in the mirror, it's so miserable that he wants to take shots at other people who have lost their children. And yet he wants to take a shot at Tillman Fertitta, who probably crap canned him because he didn't know what he was doing and wouldn't shake his hand.
And Tillman is a great dude.
No question.
I'm talking about top notch, great dude. I fools with Tillman Fertitta. So if he's talking about Tillman, I got beef with you, Roberto.
Yeah.
David, whatever your name is.
Whatever. Again, those that have aliases aren't proud of who they are with their real name on their birth certificate. It's about as simple as that. All right, so we can get through that. I got something I want to ask you guys. Nick, we got time. I want to throw this out at you because this happened to me about 2 weeks ago, and I want to know where you are on this. All right? We got a Chinese food place in our area that we frequent because they deliver, and you can do it on the internet. And so if we need food quickly or just don't feel like cooking, Lisa will fire it up, and they're there right away. I get the chicken and broccoli, and I get a bone in it about an inch and a half long. And I'm like, that's
disgusting.
Yeah, that's not right. And I'm not.
A bone inside your.
Bone and a piece of chicken in the chicken and broccoli.
That wasn't chicken.
Yeah, it was.
No, I'm pretty sure it probably was dog.
That's not nice.
It probably was boiled Rottweiler.
All right, can I finish? So I called them. I thought about it. I debated it. Of course, Lisa says don't call because they're going to spit in our food the next time we get it. No, I believe, again, you do what's right. And that's not right. And I call. And I'm not going to do Granado's voice when he does male golfer, female golfer, Chinese food. But the guy basically says, what do you want me to do about it? Not my problem. And I'm just like stunned and like stifled for a second. And I hung up the phone and I'm thinking, do I ever go back there again?
I wouldn't.
I mean, that's just, I was like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, from a customer service, and I said it to the guy, I go, really? That's the customer service? Not my problem. What do you want me to do about it? I mean, from a customer service perspective, my mom and dad own and operate their own restaurant. You go out of your way to make sure that your customers, the problem's taken care of. You comp them a meal next time, or you say, hey, we'll bring you out another plate of it, whatever it may be. But that was not the answer I was expecting.
Yeah, your rationale is right. And you come from, you know, a family with the restaurant business, so you get that. But I am kind of with Lisa in that, man. If I go through the drive-thru or something, I'm not complaining. I'm not yelling. I'm not complaining about how long it takes because you just do not know what they're going to do to your food. Like,
you don't know, but at the same time, if you do something, I find out later.
Yeah.
I'm gonna drive through the front window with my car. You know what I mean? Or I'm going to be that guy to be like, you know, when you open up that sandwich, you look, you ever go to like Hood Burger King's? And you see the sandwich all nice and made juicy and made the right way. And they give you these two burgers. They give you these two little end pieces. The bread look like it need Viagra itself. And it's like squished together. Like, dude, I literally will go by and throw it. Like, dude, this is not what I ordered. I ordered that. Does this look anything like that?
You really did that?
Yeah, of course. Because if I order something and this is what it's supposed to look like, you gonna dang well please if I spend my money there, you gonna make it look like this.
If I ordered a Mercedes Benz,
it better not come as a Saab.
It better start looking like a Kia.
No, don't talk about my Kias now.
Oh, see what I did there?
Don't talk about my Kias.
Oh, man,
personal. Our Kias look like Mercedes Benz.
Okay. All right. Well, before you know it, you, Danny DeVito, and the man with 1,000 names down in Galveston will all be driving taxis. Okay, we've got plenty more show to go. Nick, you don't get that because taxi was a show before your time. 2:40 in the afternoon. Plenty of show still to go. You want to join in the show, 713-780-ESPN. We would love to have you unless your name is Roberto, David. I forget what other his other alias was.
Well, we got one alias now. Or Alberto, was it?
Alberto was okay. The other one. Right.
Robert, and Rob, and now today it was David, right?
Yeah. And by the way, no matter what you call yourself, I call you a piece of you-know-what, and by the same token, you're not talented enough to change your voice. So the next time you call, we'll be waiting for you, and the hate's going to keep on coming, brother.
No question.
ESPN 97.5.
ESPN. 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
If you're ever in a cab in the League City, Galveston, what's where Tillman owns all the restaurants?
The Boardwalk?
Kima, Galveston area. When you get into a taxi cab, the driver's ID has to be visible right on the dashboard. If it says Roberto, just get the hell out, because no good things are going to come of it. Just an FYI. So we've got a lot of show still to go. Keenan McCardle joins us at 3:30. He's going to talk more football. By the way, if you want to know a guy that played for Bill Belichick when he was coaching the Cleveland Browns,
I think we need to find who that guy is, because we got to put him on like a lightweight terrorist watch list.
That too.
Yeah, because, I mean, he sounds like he's ready to go postal, but we don't know where he's going postal at.
Right.
You know, but, you know.
Yeah, all right. So we've made a mockery enough of a guy that has a life in shambles. So we've got Hall of Fame balloting tonight. We've got all the changes we talked about with the Houston Texans. Your Rockets take on the Milwaukee Bucks tonight in what could be a difficult three-game stretch after dropping one they should have won last night to Miami. Milwaukee tonight, Golden State Friday, Memphis this weekend, so they got to be careful. It's a three-game stretch that could be a little bit of a trap. Did you see what happened last night, by the way, which was very humorous, in the Siena Rider basketball game?
Yes, I did. It was awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was rather amusing. So Siena plays Rider, a very physical game. End of the game, hard foul. Teams start talking back and forth. Guy accidentally just kind of backpedals and trips over a guy from the other team, but he thought he did it purposely. So both benches clear. Both coaches start screaming at each other. All hell breaks loose, and there's only a couple minutes left in the game. Well, because of it, they separate everybody finally, and the final horn sounds, and the Rider coach pulls his team immediately off the floor, walks completely away, doesn't do the obligatory handshake line, and takes off. And in one of the great scenes in sports, the head coach for Siena decides to just pretend like there is an imaginary team in front of him and goes right down the line, all the way down the sideline, shaking hands with nobody.
Yeah, air handshake.
Yeah, it was phenomenal.
Yeah, I didn't see the initial scuffle that led to the awkward post-game handshake. But
what happened was, it was an alley-oop for Siena, right? And the Rider guy kind of almost undercuts him, but kind of side doors him. And so the guy who got the alley-oop hits the floor. Well, while he's on the floor, the guy who kind of undercut him has two guys running at him from the other team to say, "What are you doing undercutting my guy?" And he backpedals. When he backpedals, he falls over the guy that jammed the ball in the alley-oop. It was laying on the floor. Well, he thought the guy did it intentionally. So then both teams are just jawing and pushing and shoving, and the Rider coach decides to come all the way down from the other end of the floor and get in the middle of it, and both coaches just start screaming at each other. And so now after the game, of course, the coaches showed some restraint and said, "Well, I respect him, he respects me, and blah, 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 blah. I understand exactly what he was doing." But then they said, "So why did you do it anyway?" And he goes, "I don't know, it just felt like the right thing to do." It was amazing. It was great, and it was great video. I was just wondering, I was curious because it was on SportsCenter. And Travis, I want to get your take now that we're completely done. We were talking about this in the break with the Antonio Brown thing, hopefully. He has come out and apologized after the strong comments of Mike Tomlin yesterday. And one of the things I want to talk about with you that I mentioned to you in the break was that when Tomlin spoke, the one thing that he said that I think was a subliminal message to Brown was, you don't want to be one of those great players that ends up being moved around because things like this pop up. And when I started thinking about it this morning, the Steelers are the perfect example of how they will not take and tolerate that kind of stuff and send someone on their way.
They will.
Santonio Holmes, at the top of his game, gone. Plaxico Burress, gone. Mike Wallace, gone. And ironically, all three play the same position as Antonio Brown. And I go back to what I said to you guys, which now is coming up, but I said this to you before anybody else mentioned it, which was, during the year, every time he scored a touchdown, he did his Dances with the Stars dances and got a 15-yard penalty. It got to the point where it was annoying the team more and more and more until Big Ben had to pull him aside and go, "Yo, if we're in a tight game and you do that, and it costs us field position, it could be a killer. You can't do it because it's hurting the team.
Hey man, Mike Wallace ain't tripping about leaving Pittsburgh. I mean, a lot of people there, he going to miss it.
Okay, but you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, a lot of people, yeah. And a lot of bigger names have left Pittsburgh. But Mike Wallace is the best receiver in all of football right now. No, there's not even a question. There's nobody close.
Mike Wallace?
Not Mike Wallace. You know what I'm talking about. Antonio Brown.
I was going to say, you threw me for a loop and a half, I'm thinking about
I'm thinking about the three names that you talk about that they exported out of there.
Yep.
Antonio Brown's the best receiver in all of football right now.
And I'll say this. Some people will say Julio Jones.
No.
I'm just throwing it out there because in fantasy football, we all know Antonio Brown was the number one pick.
Yeah. He was.
But some people will say Julio Jones.
Yeah, because Julio's, he's playing monster ball right now.
Bigger guy.
Yeah, and he's a bigger guy. You know, it's different when you got guys who look the part. You know, when you think about, for all those years, Andre was always in the category. Yep. Megatron was always in the category. Those guys are big stature. When you look at Antonio Brown, and you see how small he is and the things that he's able to do, you have to respect it, and I think there's nothing he can't do.
I understand that, but there's also things you shouldn't do. And the one thing, I think the best point that came out of all this was when they interviewed Roethlisberger, and he said, I wish he'd have just been listening to me and Coach and been in the room. And that's what I don't like, and you can attest to this because in the older buildings and some of the other buildings in the league, they don't have a locker room big enough where you're all in one big circle like you are in your home locker room. And so you have these little side rooms that still have more stalls in it for whether it be a receiver group or a, you know, D-backs or however you do it. But it was obvious if you saw the video that the majority of the team was in a big room.
Yeah.
And he was in a side room. And Ben's point was, I think he probably should have been listening to what Coach and I said when we addressed the team. It's a very valid point.
Oh, no question. I think if he was been in there, then his Facebook video wouldn't have went on until after that conversation was done. You know, because if you look at the week before where Mike Tomlin even made an appearance on his Facebook Live video, it was after the conversation was over when they went back and forth. You know, when, matter of fact, it was his Facebook Live and Vince Williams, Florida State, took around the camera and went around to everybody and put them on the Facebook Live, and that had 1 million views. So, I mean, it goes back to
what you and I were talking about Monday, and it's two points that we brought up that now people are jumping on the bandwagon are, which is, one, it's the same quote-unquote crime that you are promoting on your national broadcast when you encourage players to do these same kind of Facebook Lives and video chats when they're on the buses going to games and on the field in the pregame. And they love that stuff.
Yep.
But they're controlling it.
They're controlling the situation.
When they're not in control of the situation, now it's a big problem.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you got to be careful what you wish for because they're getting the idea from somewhere and they're seeing you guys do it every week. Here's the other thing that I said and that you and I were both going back and forth on from our experiences. The locker room is a sacred place, all right? And a lot of things are going to be said and done in that locker room and they're not going to be done in a PC or HR way. And it's just never going to be that way.
Never.
And that's why the fan, Joe fan, the common fan, does not belong in there. Because guess what? It's not going to change. And no matter what, how you vote and what you think and all the ways that you think that, you know, HR should be involved, there's one place in the business world of professional sports that HR is never going to have the kind of control and placement in that they do everywhere else, and that's in the locker room.
No, they will never have that control.
Nope.
I don't care who you are, where you come from. We police our own, and we get it done. You see how it's being policed right now. Yep. Yes, some of it's in the public, but a lot of it will be done in private.
And most of the stuff that's in private is in private for a reason, and it needs to stay that way. So, we got two in the books. Went pretty quick, Trap. We got one to go. Half hour from now, Keenan McCardell joins us, and we can talk about anything you want to talk about. You want to get questions for K-Mac? Hit us up on Twitter. He's also at Keenan McCardell on Twitter, but you can get it to us, and we'll get it to him. Or you can call the show and or text the show, which is 713-780-ESPN. We are here for you till 4. We are ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.